Homestyle Green, episode 230. How do you turn a standard code compliant house into a high performance home? G'day and welcome back to another episode of Homestyle Green. This is the podcast dedicated to inspiring people to make a better place to live. My name's Matthew Cutler-Welsh. I'm the host of the show. And this week I've got a conversation with Murray Durbin. Now, Murray will be known to quite a few people here in New Zealand. He's been in the market of improving the standard of houses for more than a decade now, and he's been at the installation end, also some of the involved in product supply, but his recent venture is a company called Enveloped. And the great thing about Enveloped is that they can look after all of the bits that take a house, a standard, in this case, New Zealand house, to being a very high performing house. So they look after the insulation, the air tightness, the ventilation, the heating. And they can do all those things separate to the builder. They can come in and specify and install all of those products. And they're all the things that make a house really perform. Now, it's not Murray's first time on the show. He was a early guest back in episode number 56 in January 2014. I'll put a link to that interview in the show notes. That was Murray's discussion about his experience designing, building, and living in one of Auckland's early passive houses. It was one of the first Passive House Plus houses in New Zealand. So enjoy this conversation with Murray Durbin of Enveloped.
Welcome, Murray. Thanks for coming on the show. This is your second time that I've chatted to you on a podcast. Previously was about your own home, the Ideal House, which is no longer your own home. Is that correct?
Yeah, we finished that project about 5 or 6 years ago. That was a Homestar 10 project, where Passive House Plus certified. We ended up living in it for about 5 years, and then having to move for family and personal reasons.
Yeah. But as a result, I think it was one of the first passive houses to actually be sold in New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a record, but it was certainly one of the first to be go on the market and be sold. And we've been asked many times, you know, did you get a premium over the market rates, and how much extra did you get? The problem is it's really hard to compare that against any other home in our area, because it was just also a very nice architecturally designed home as well.
Yeah. And this is such an issue, not just here, but I think everywhere, that there are so many other aspects to real estate, like school zone and proximity to the city centre or public transport. We'd like to think that there's a premium for this high performance, but there's so many other things that on people's minds when they're looking at where to live.
Yeah, and the other thing we had working against us is we were sort of outside of central Auckland.
Yeah.
And we had people looking at the home going, wow, you know, we love it so warm, and we love, you know, the ratings on it, and, you know, the sustainability and the, you know, all the aspects that went into the home, but it's just too far from Auckland City.
So the
people that ended up buying that project didn't know what Passive House was. They didn't know what Homestar was.
Yeah.
They just liked the house. So
yeah, because, and you're right, it was a nice architecturally designed home as well. Matt Wilson did a stellar job.
Yeah.
What's it been like moving from that to a normal New Zealand house?
I mean, it was pretty hard going onto the market knowing we were, you know, selling our dream house and having to buy something else. Where we were moving from, the values were lower, so we were buying into, you know, the North Shore area, which was higher, and we ended up having to settle with what I would call a New Zealand building code standard house, you know, standard insulation, standard aluminium double glazing, and it was, you know, quite tough.
At least it's double glazed.
Yeah, at least we have. I mean, when I say tough, we are still very privileged compared to many in New Zealand. You know, it's still a, you know, very nice home, but. So we spent a considerable amount of money on upgrading it. We purchased a home that was on piles, so we could access under the house rather than buying something on a concrete slab.
Right.
And we, you know, we put R5 insulation under the floor with a membrane, R5 in the ceiling, replaced all of the downlights. We put in a central heating and a balanced heat transfer heat recovery ventilation systems. We did a lot to the house.
Yeah.
But it's still not performing that great. And the biggest thing now is we're looking at the windows saying, actually, at what point do we rip all the windows out and start again?
Yeah, right. So tens of thousands of dollars, and it's still nowhere near what you were used to in your passive house.
Yeah, correct. The biggest thing we're finding is that the windows are situated on the outside of the building, the outside of the envelope. Mm-hmm. So they, if you look at the line of the building, they're literally hanging in the external cavity, which is outside.
Yeah.
So even with all of the measures we've done, we're still getting condensation and mold forming on our windows, even with all those things we've talked about. Because it's just aluminium, as you know, is such a good conductor, and you know, any drop in temperature that the water just forms on it.
And coming back to the underfloor, it's kind of scary that you had to retrofit that, even though, like I said, it was built to the standard, but you know that the standard is below par, so you wanted somewhere that you could upgrade, and you put in what, R5 under the floor?
Yeah, so we had I think there was 1.4 X-pole under there, which doesn't always give you the nicest fitting between the joists, and the wood was falling out and broken, you know, even just from other tradesmen when it was being built. So we just decided to leave it in place and just go right underneath it. We had nice deep joists and we filled it right up. And then we just used a membrane underneath that to then, you know, stop any wind wash and just keep any moisture out of that environment. Now, we also put in the ground vapor barrier on the ground, because the ground was quite damp under the home. So we also put that down as well.
And have you got any performance data now? Have you done any monitoring, or just sort of anecdotal, what's it like to be in there now?
We haven't done any monitoring on this house. We did in our last project. I think anecdotally, I mean, the house was freezing when we moved in, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think there was one heat pump in the whole house. And so we removed that and put in central heating. So, I mean, the home, to be honest, the home is very comfortable. It's very warm. We're privileged. But I'm still having to go around and wipe mold off windows and mop up in the mornings. And it's just, and that's after a fair amount of intervention into the house. You know, and we do run the fans in the bathrooms when we're showering, and we are quite careful. But it's just the materials and where they've been placed with the windows. It was never a good design to start with.
And I'm guessing your power bills are, your running costs are a bit higher than what they were previously.
Yeah, we were running in the last project, the Ideal House, we were running fairly even through the year. I think in summer months we were negative $50, maybe in winter we were sort of plus $50 to $60 a month. Relatively even. I hate to say it, but the bills in this home, you know, with five or six people now, around that sort of $400 a month.
So coming on to retrofitting and upgrading houses, that is what you do now through Enveloped. Was that idea already germinating before you had your own project?
Yes. So Enveloped has been around now a couple of years since I left my last job. Mm-hmm. And we launched that initially starting really just on doing a really nice job of installing insulation into people's homes. You know, I go onto a lot of building sites and, you know, we see the work that's being done in the market. One home I went to in Point Shev, it was a multi-million dollar home, had just been done with actually very expensive polyester insulation. And I could put my hand between the insulation and the joists, and there were some areas that were stacked up in tiny little pieces and just all the offcuts. Mm. And I said to the builder, I said, well, you know, how does council sign this off? And he said, oh, well, you know, we just get a producer statement from the installer and he walks in and sees it's done and they just don't check it. You know, so those types of reasons is why we sort of set up Envelop to do a better job, because the insulation's there for the life of the building. You know, once those linings are on, if there's a 20 or 30 millimeter gap between the insulation and the framing, that's going to significantly impact on the performance of the house. And it just sort of grew from there. So we started adding in, you know, balanced ventilation, then we started installing air tightness membranes, and then we started getting into heating, and now we're even doing windows out of Germany. So just over the last 2 years, the product range and the surface offering has just sort of grown and grown.
What's the source of that problem that's created the opportunity that you've created a solution for that allows houses to be created in that and signed off, like you say, in that way? What's the origin of that problem?
I mean, when I was involved heavily in insulation from a manufacturing point of view, we were seeing some products coming into the market from some countries that, you know, did not carry any brands or did not carry any code mark. And even their labels and the buildings were not meeting New Zealand code. And, you know, I did go into Auckland Council and meet with them and meet with, you know, the head of the building inspections. And their feedback was, look, we have so many products that we have to sign off. You know, the inspectors are across hundreds and hundreds of things. And he indicated that they were more concerned around, wiring, which is a safety issue, roofing, weather tightness, and just the sheer number of products that these building inspectors have to look at, just even just structurally to make sure the house is going to stand up. My feeling is I think the insulation doesn't get looked at as close as what it could do.
It sounds like I can empathise with that. I mean, they have to know so much about all the different clauses of the building code. And it sounds like safety always trumps health as well, because safety is something that's going to be obvious and that someone might get sued by, because if it goes wrong, it's going to happen relatively quickly. Whereas health, which insulation is all about, happens over a long period of time. It's much harder to point the finger at any one person or any one entity.
Yeah, and we don't come back on the homes after they're built and do thermal imaging, and we don't do any post-occupancy monitoring or data. So, you know, as I said, the building inspector walks in, and we see it very often that, you know, we are halfway through a home, and the building inspection might be on that day, and the building inspector looks at us, he looks at what we're putting in, he sees the labels and he signs it off. And this is before the home is even finished, and you hear the nightmare stories of, you know, the wrong products being put in. I get
substitution.
100%. I get sent videos from installers because we also wholesale insulation as well. And where they'll staple up a 2.8 label into the wall, but the product that's been installed is 100% 2.2 or a very light density product, and you can check that by removing it, by weighing it, you can literally feel the density of that product, and all you need to do is cut off one label off one bag, and the rest of the house can be a different product.
That's kind of scary. So the requirement there is that there is some sort of label or notification of what's installed so it can be checked. Is that right? The part of the installation?
Yeah. I mean, typically
you've got to leave some evidence.
You know, there'd either be a producer statement or the labels are cut off the bag and stapled up. And that's typically what a building inspector would be coming and looking at.
But what you're saying is that there's no guarantee that label is representative of what's actually there.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, again, when I had meetings with council, we had homes and addresses that we provided council and said, you know, we know that this because it's a competitor that may have done the work. You need to go have a look at 1 Smith Street. We believe that it's specified in 2.8, but there's only 2.2 installed. And they don't have the tools. I mean, all you really need to do is pull a piece off, measure it, weigh it with a very sensitive scales, and you can work out very quickly the density of what that product is.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess where Enveloped came from is it's like, well, don't, you know, if you don't go to Cowboys, if you want a good job, you know what you're paying for is what you're getting, you want it installed properly, we'll do that for you.
And given that it's, in some ways, things like insulation have become such a commodity, and I know that installers in some companies get paid, you know, it's right down the bottom rung. So it's a relatively low priority and low cost item for a typical builder. What's the market and the proposition for Enveloped? How do you create something or convince the market that there's value to that?
Yeah, I mean, the types of clients we're dealing with, we're at both ends of the market. We have clients wanting to build high-performance homes on a super tight budget. And it's around working with them on not just the products we sell, but giving them ideas on construction methods and ways in which they can achieve that cost effectively. You know, so we do a lot of consulting and provide a lot of advice for clients. Then we're dealing with clients at the other end of the market that have unlimited budgets and, you know, heaps of money and it's very easy. So what we tend to do when we get a set of house plans, we quote up typically about 9 options for the insulation. And we give consumers a very wide choice. We might use an entry-level glass wool product that we import. We would use a mid-range glass wool product. We would do a polyester and then a wool blend at the top end of the market. And then within that, you know, it would even be 9 or even more options per house. We do a good, better, best. So we say, here's a typical level of building code, what's probably on the plans. We give them a mid-range option, and then we give them a high-end option, pretty much the best that we can install for that climate zone. And typically the pricing is very close. It might be, you know, on a home, $4,000 for the entry level, you know, $5,000 for a mid-range and $6,000 for as best as we can get in a glass wool. You know, so obviously in other products like polyester and, you know, wool, it's going to be more than that. But that's a very easy argument to convince clients to sort of step up a next level.
So that's in terms of the product. Do you have any trouble convincing people or explaining the importance of the quality of the installation?
Yeah, I mean, we have a portfolio of previous work, and we have references, and I think at that point in the engagement with a client, I think they trust us that we're going to do a good job. I mean, what we tell them is every single job we do, management inspects it and signs it off. So we're there on site, and we get hands-on if we need to. Yes, we have the installers there, but I am coming and going from those projects, and at the end, if it's not done to my standards, we get the installers back and they fix it. So I get them to rip sections out and redo it if it's not up to our standard. So,
do you have to explain to clients that what the risks are in getting stuff signed off that may not be performing? I'm coming back to that example of being able to fit your hand in between the gaps.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a significant drop in the effective R value. Brands have done this research. They know that, you know, even a 16 millimeter gap around the edge of insulation can be nearly a 50% effective reduction in R value. We just presented on this last week. So, most people wouldn't know that. All they know is that this is what they thought they ordered was R2.8, and the council signed it off, so it must be good.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is there's a lot of blind faith in the market consumers around what they get with building code. We get involved in homes. We had one over in where we used to live in Beachlands, where the clients had moved from South Africa. They obviously the rand wasn't worth as much. They had rented for a number of years. Had finally saved up enough money to buy a new home. They went out and purchased a brand new home and then moved in, and it was freezing. We put monitoring devices in the house. The kids' bedrooms were getting down to 10 to 12 degrees. We had dripping condensation down the windows, and this is a $1.1 to $1.2 million brand new house. Wow. You know, and she was devastated. She was in tears. Spent her life savings on what was meant to be her home, her shelter for her children. And it was not performing well, you know. Yeah. And there's this faith that the building code is adequate, but you know it's not.
Yeah. But it's a bit of a rabbit hole. I don't want to get into finger pointing as to whose fault that is. What I want to focus on though is that you're providing a solution for that, and I think it's a fantastic opportunity that you've seen and implemented a solution now. And it's not just insulation, is it? What else have you got in your product range to enhance?
Well, I mean, we do a wide range of insulation. As I mentioned, we import our own product from overseas, which is Codemark certified, and we distribute that all around the country, which is, I believe, is the most cost-effective insulation product on the market. And that allows us to go into a home and step up its performance without potentially adding any cost to the consumer. Mm-hmm. And then do all the main brands, and then up to the sheep's wool, premium end of the market. Ventilation, mm-hmm. I mentioned. We do primarily heat recovery balanced systems. So we do the Stiebel Outron and the Zender systems. We've done a lot of them now that we're getting very good at being able to quote accurately and estimate the hours. They're a very involved installation. You know, and a lot goes into getting those things installed correctly and balanced and commissioned.
Oh my gosh. And is that mostly in new builds or do you retrofit those as well?
It's probably 50-50. You know, we are putting balanced recovery, heat recovery into older homes along with other measures like insulation.
That is hard work.
You know, and it is hard work. I mean, some homes we will spend 80 to 100 hours putting some of these in. You know, but it helps. I mean, and if you look at our, you know, our website and our testimonials, clients are rapt about these systems when they've been installed. I mean, they're not cheap, but they work.
Yeah, so many questions about ventilation. I mean, I've had the experience of trying to, installing a Stiebel Eltron distributed ventilation system into my 1950s house, and it was a multiple weekend project. And yeah, it's not easy work, but worthwhile in the end. We're not talking here about, because when you say ventilation, for most New Zealanders, they think of one or two big brands. And what we're talking about with what you supply is vastly different to that, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's becoming more and more mainstream now. And as you mentioned, these are balanced systems. So the air that's being delivered into the home is balanced with the air being extracted out of the home.
And it's fresh air coming in, not air that's being sucked from your roof space.
Correct. Yeah. And we're not pressurizing the house, so we're not forcing air in and then forcing moist air out through our building envelope. We're doing it in a controlled and in a balanced way.
Yeah.
You know, so ventilation, for me, it's the lungs of a house. And pretty much every high performance home, you know, we get a lot of plans coming across our desk now. Almost every day we're getting plans coming in from all around the country. And if they're not already specified, it's very easy to convince a client to spend the money. You know, so for a standard 200 square meter, 200 to 220 square meter single level home, you know, we can put on a balanced heat recovery system for around that sort of $13,000 to $15,000 plus GST fully installed and commissioned. And that's, you know, if that's for an entry level product, you know, still Passive House certified for a more premium brand with the bells and whistles with like Wi-Fi control and humidity monitoring, it's going to be closer to sort of 18 plus just.
But if they're doing a decent job of the insulation and air tightness as well, there's a good chance that they're going to have very minimal requirements for heat, you know, centralized heating system. Or if they do, it's going to be very efficient to run.
Correct. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you want to insulate first, and then you want to try and get air tightness second, or you know, very closely behind it, and then third is, you know, you want fresh air in your house. It's what we breathe, it's what we live on. You know, we eat and we breathe. So,
how important is it to get an existing house airtight before you put a balanced ventilation system in, or how airtight do you have to get it?
Well, I mean, you can put a balanced system into a, and we have very successfully put them into older homes that aren't airtight. And they still work. I mean, obviously, there's still going to be air infiltration coming in from windows. There's still going to be leakage. But we have still found, because they work 24/7, they never turn off. They're always extracting from bathrooms. They're always moving air through that home. You know, the anecdotal data and the feedback we're getting from our clients is they work and they're happy with them. So, So beyond ventilation, you know, as you mentioned, air tightness. So we are, you know, certified installers of air tightness membranes. So we will come into a home and put all the internal wraps and tape them, and then organise blower door testing if we need to. You know, that's
which is great for the builder, because it takes that whole bit out of the equation. So you could just have a regular builder basically, and get you guys to come in and do take care of all the high performance bits.
Yeah, correct. You know, so we work with on many projects where it was a building code home. We come in and we throw everything at it, and we just work in with the builder. You know, we're coming in, we're doing the insulation, we're chasing behind ourselves with our own teams doing the air tightness, we're chasing behind ourselves putting in all the ducting for the ventilation, often, you know, ducking in behind the insulation or through the membranes. You know, and then obviously we can supply the windows and then all the tapes and membranes to install the windows, you know, which is another product range, which I'll mention as well. And it just allows the builder just to focus on the, you know, the structure of the building and let us deal with all those tricky bits.
In that situation, are there any design changes that are required?
I mean, typically we want to get involved as early as possible, even at concept stage if we can. The types of things we're looking for is where is the ventilation going to sit? Is it going to sit in the garage? Is it going in the loft? Preferably it's inside the in the building envelope within a wardrobe. We then go, okay, well, it's in the wardrobe now. How do we get air in and out of this? Are we putting a bulkhead through to the external wall? Are we going through a roof cowl? You know, so these are the discussions we have with the builders and the designers to say, where is it going? And the next option is, where is all the ducting running? Are we, you know, are we going through a mid-floor? Are we going through, are we dropping the ceiling down 100 millimeters? Are we going through a rondo system? You know, so typically if we get involved later on, it can be challenging to literally physically put all the product in the home. The earlier we get involved, we can map it out, we can design it, and then it makes our life much, much easier when we turn up on site.
Yeah. Tell us about windows.
So windows, I mean, windows for me, I mean, I've been involved in high-performance building now for a very long time, probably more than 10 years. Windows for me have always been the bugbear. You know, they've always been the hardest part of the building to get right, not only in the detailing but in the positioning within the window with councils and the products. You know,
so why is that?
We haven't in the past had a lot of local good manufacturing, and our windows are typically so far behind where they need to be.
Yeah.
So we, you know, more recently in, you know, the last 6 months, we've picked up an agency for a company, Neufer, out of Germany. You know, they manufacture and source from other manufacturers a wide range of products. And what we have found is it's not just the product, it's all the backup and the support and the detailing and the service and all the accessories, and there's an enormous amount that we've had to get up to speed with on doing a good job. But we think we've nailed it now, and we've done a few jobs, and clients are happy. So I think it's a real game changer for us.
Because you have to get your head around those European systems, but also how to fit them into New Zealand joinery and construction, right?
Yeah, correct. You know, so we have a range of details now and CAD across a range of cladding types. We've got homes now that have been through and passed through, you know, Auckland Council, Wellington, you know, Canterbury, Central Otago. We know we've got plans now that have been detailed and passed. You know, so we've got a lot of good information to help designers. And we can do it for them too. Like on a couple of jobs, the architects have put their hands up and said, "It's too hard. I don't know how to do it. You know, can you do it for us?" So we go out and we've got a passive house designers and that we can use to detail that up and then pass it back to the architect, and they just literally drop it into their plans.
And are these windows made to measure?
So they're made off plans, and they come from Germany in a container, fully glazed. And then they can be installed from the inside. So just the way the flashings work, we can push them in from the inside of the home, which, as we found last week, is very handy when we're dealing around scaffolding rather than installing from the outside.
Yes, true. Yeah. Yeah.
So we do a wide range, and very much like our insulation, as we love providing clients choice and different price points. So we will get a set of plans, and then we will price up PVC, PVC with a foil coating, PVC alu, and then like a wood alu. And then we also say, look at a double glazed and triple glazed. You know, so I know it sounds like a whole lot of choice, but we can, on a 200 square meter home, we can offer a solution that would be suitable, you know, for a high homestay or a passive house certified home, you know, possibly from sort of $40,000 anywhere up to sort of $100,000.
Yeah, can that be quite overwhelming to have so many options?
We narrow it down pretty quickly. There are some clients that are like, we want wood and we only want wood and we want nothing else, and that becomes a very easy outcome. We have clients that want wood, and when they see the price, they end up moving to a PVC LU type solution. You know, so the budget of the project very quickly, you know, steers us to what products can be used.
Yeah. So you really do look after all of the important bits of the high performance aspects of a home, starting with the insulation. You've got the air tighteners, you've got the ventilation, windows, like you mentioned, is a hugely important part of the whole envelope. And then you've got some other bits and pieces like water heating and space heating as well. So you can also give people options with those.
Yeah, water heating, I mean, once you've dealt with a thermal envelope, water heating is now your next biggest, it becomes your biggest power user in the home.
Mm.
So as soon as we can get everything else done, hot water becomes our immediate target next. You know, yep. We've got some very cost-effective options for a, you know, integrated hot water heat pump that can be installed by a normal plumber and electrician. You know, there's no special, you know, trades required on site. Now, and we pretty much sell those now to almost every home that we consult on. It's right. A no-brainer. And then we have a sort of a step up now. We're doing quite a few more CO2 systems. It's using a very environmentally friendly gas rather than using like a 134 or 13, you know, other gas types. And more recently, we were consulting on a couple of very large high performance commercial apartment blocks. Three actually at the moment. Where we're now stepping up into large CO2 units of about 30 kilowatts in size, we can do, you know, 20, 30 apartments at a time out of a single tank and a single CO2 unit.
Awesome. And is there much market for the solar evacuated tubes?
We haven't really done much in that market. I know some – it does – suit some homes, especially if you're off the grid. They are very good.
Yeah.
We tend to lean towards heat pumps, you know, rather than forms of solar. But there is a place in the market for them.
And it probably depends a little bit on region as well. Now you started off in Auckland, but you've got some guys down in Christchurch now, and also Otago. Is that right?
Yeah. So we now have installers and representatives in Canterbury and central Otago. So we're in the process now of rolling that out, and we'll have sort of launch events coming up soon. But essentially what we've really cut our teeth on the Auckland market and learned about the products and learned about how to install them and how long they take and how much they cost, and have really, you know, done the work to learn. Now we think we've got that under control. As you said, we're rolling that out now around the country. You know, Wellington will be next, the next market for us. We are recruiting for that market.
Awesome.
And to be fair, the product range that we have, it's nice in Auckland, but it's absolutely a winner in central Otago and colder climates, because is just made for those environments.
Yeah, absolutely. And where's the best place for people to find you? And do you engage directly with homeowners, or is it just designers, or who's your main sort of client that you're working with?
So we get inquiries from all aspects. We get homeowners coming to us saying, you know, hey, we're getting some concepts made on our house, so we're willing to build better than code. Can you help us? We get builders coming to us saying, hey, we see these products specified on the plans. We have no idea how to install them. Can you do it for us?
Right.
We get architects coming to us saying, you know, hey, our clients want a high-performance home, not quite sure what to do. We know there's a whole lot of new products in the market. Can you help us? We will sit down with them, with all three parties. And essentially, if the project carries on, we end up talking to everyone. We end up talking to the homeowner around, you know, the powder coating of the grills or the ventilation system. We end up engaging with the builder, obviously, for obvious reasons. The architect for detailing and products and specification for council. So on a single project, we're talking across all three parties.
Yeah, awesome. And you've got your website there. I guess that's the easiest place for people to find you.
Yes, www.enveloped.co.nz. So that's an envelope with a D on the end. And we've got our contact information on there. You know, if you're listening and you're looking at building a high-performance home, or you're designing high-performance homes and want to see what options are out there now in terms of pricing, then, you know, please talk to us.
You're obviously pretty excited about the opportunities. It's great to know of people that are recruiting in this current environment. Where do you see things going, in just at a macro level, in terms of building standards and performance of particularly houses, but also all buildings in particularly here in New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, as mentioned, I've been involved in energy efficiency and high performance homes for a long time. I mean, you know, I was just looking before the interview. You know, back in 2006, I worked on a education campaign with Contact Energy and Pink Bats and Mitre 10. I really ran that campaign to promote, you know, better building. This is going back 14 years now.
It was pre-Warm-Up New Zealand.
It was pre-Warm-Up New Zealand, pre the government programs. You know, and that program that I worked on, you know, we won the Supreme Award that year and really got people noticing about, hey, you know, we can insulate these homes, we can make them warmer. You know, so it's been a long, long, hard battle, you know, over the last decade. And there's a number of people in the market that have been pushing for better homes.
Yeah.
What I have found in the last 6 months is a real groundswell. There's a real movement now. There's architects are getting engaged. It's about health. It's about energy. It's about carbon emissions. And we see a hugely exciting future for high-performance homes in New Zealand. And I guess, you know, from a company perspective, we want to be ready if the government ever decide to regulate in this area, that we're ready and we can step up and help people.
Mm. Awesome. Well, even if they don't, it's great to know that you're out there doing the good work, and that there is that groundswell and increase in interest. It's very encouraging. Thank you for your time, Murray. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate the time.
And that was Murray Durbin of Enveloped. Check them out, enveloped.co.nz. Also, don't forget to check out my previous interview. If you haven't listened to that one before, go way back into the archives, episode number 56 from January 2014. I'll put a link to that in the show notes for this episode so you can go back and listen to Murray's discussion about the process of designing a Passive House Plus house here in Auckland over 5 years ago now. Lots changed, and Murray has been a contributor to that change, bringing in products, making it easier for people to go to take those steps beyond building a standard house and to actually build a high-performance home. Hope you enjoyed that episode. I'd love to get your thoughts, feedbacks, comments. Thank you to those who do send me messages. I really appreciate the feedback. It's great. You can email me, matthew@homestylegreen.com. And don't forget to subscribe. Leave a rating or review over on Apple if you use Apple podcasts. And also don't forget that if you want to help support the show, you can click on the Patreon button on the homepage over at homestylegreen.com. It really helps to just keep the show going, cover some of the expenses. As the show grows, some of the expensing, some of the hosting increases as well. It's a labor of love, so any support that you can provide and give is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much for listening in. Now go make a better place to live. Hey, one more thing just before I go. If you haven't checked it out already, make sure you subscribe and listen to the Passive House podcast. I'm co-hosting the show with Zach Semke from the Passive House Accelerator. So look that up. It's the Passive House podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.